Hey, America.
Start this now.
Someday we'll get that right.
No.
Not today.
Yeah, no. Anyway, hey, everyone. We're reviewing Iceland as part of our 2021 preview this week. So I just want to make sure, did everybody wear their Dali-esque green sweaters?
Wait, Dali-esque? I thought you said Dali-esque. I'm wearing something with a melted clock on my chest.
I thought you said Dada-esque, and I'm wearing existentialism.
I did actually get the shirt, but I fashioned it into a different garment. And 10 points to the person who guesses what the garment is.
It's a Dali thong, isn't it?
And welcome to another revealing episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America. No one outpizzas America. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Except maybe Italy.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
And by maybe, I mean probably. Hopefully.
No one out spaghetti's St. Louis.
Ew. Maybe San Marino in a pinch.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And I'd imagine Maltese pizza probably isn't that bad either.
Well,
field trip.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully. It's number one in the betting odds now, by the way, Malta. Mm. It has taken over. So John's tears are more tearful than ever.
They're anyway. Just going to make him cry more tears. It'll make him stronger. Anyway,
that's
Sam.
That's right.
Yeah, speaking of making people cry.
Yeah, Sam, hit him with the socials.
Hit us up on social media, either 12 Points USA on Twitter or Facebook, or just email us directly at 12pointsusa@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you are listening to us on, you know, Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any of those, if it gives you a chance to rate and review, please feel free. Hit up those likes and subscribes and whatever the kids are doing nowadays, because every time that you like us, an angel gets its wings and the algorithm just likes us that much more. So, share the love.
You know what an angel is without wings? Nothing.
That's just a person.
Yeah. Who wants that? So
just a person with a golden basketball hoop on their head.
That's right. Yep. We have seven more songs to get through. And this week we are talking about San Marino, North Macedonia, Romania, Denmark, Ukraine, Slovenia, and Iceland. But we did want to mention a couple of quick things before we dive into our seven songs that we're going to be covering this week. And we're going to start with a little bit of news from Israel.
Yes, they will be releasing a revamp of Set Me Free in the coming days. I mean, honestly, by the time that you folks at home are listening to this episode, it may have already released. So let us know what you think about it, again, on the aforementioned social media. Or, you know, just wait a couple of episodes and we'll talk about it soon enough, I'm sure.
I imagine so, yeah.
I don't know why they have to revamp this. This is like how they did a revamp of Benny Cristo's song last year. Like, it doesn't need it. It's plenty good right now.
Yeah, I'm worried that they're going to end up gilding the lily and like over-egging the pudding here, but we'll see what happens.
Just because they revamped doesn't mean they can't go back to the old thing, anyway.
Well, I mean, it depends on what they've submitted to the EBU, I suppose. What was that sound?
What? Plot, I mean, you know, spoiler alert, I really like Israel's song, so.
In American news, aka important news, a certain someone is making their U.S. television debut.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Is it Derek?
It's Dana International.
You're 0 for 2.
Singing Duncan Lawrence's Arcade.
There we go. It's the dunk. The dunk has made it stateside.
America runs on Duncan.
That's, yeah, well, hopefully. It seems like Capitol Records is promoting him. So it seems like they are making a push for Arcade in the US, which is really amazing.
It has kind of been bubbling under on, I think, like the adult contemporary charts, which granted isn't the Hot 100, but it's had some radio airplay here in the United States on sort of AC channels, which is so rare and so cool for a Eurovision song to cross over. Like, Heroes didn't. Euphoria made a little bit of headway on the dance charts. I think Toy did as well. But it's so rare. Like the last time that I remember hearing a Eurovision song on American like top 40 major radio airplay was Ooh Ah Just a Little Bit back in 1996.
Yeah.
A Eurovision song that I didn't even realize was a Eurovision song until much, much later.
Yeah. So the dunk is going to be appearing on the Today Show.
Yeah.
I imagine this will be on YouTube by the time you hear this. That's probably how I'm going to end up catching it at some point tomorrow. And I'm curious to see how they introduce Duncan here. Are they going to say he won Eurovision, or are they just going to say this is a young singer-songwriter from the Netherlands? Do they skip over that entirely, do you think? Or do they say, hey, this was the pride of Europe and now it's here?
Yeah, and like, how are they going to deal with the fact that this was a song that technically was released 2 years ago?
Right.
It's not a new song, but it's new to so many ears here. So market it?
That didn't stop Baby Shark.
Bite your tongue. Never bring that up again on this podcast.
I mean, considering it's a 2-year-old song, we can expect Duncan to get a Best New Artist Grammy nomination a couple years from now. That's usually how these things go. Which would be great. That'd be super cool if that happened. So best of luck to Duncan. Definitely check that out. That's exciting. I'm really jazzed to see where that goes. Mm. One other piece of news that will segue right into our reviews. It's from Sunit.
Ooh.
Sunit has spoken up about the whole Flo Rida in Rotterdam thing, and it sounds like the plan is for him to be there as long as he has a way to get there. Is that accurate?
So if he starts tunneling now.
I thought you meant, you phrased that as if, like, now. If you've got a way to get there. So like,
well, just if he can make it, if he can get there. I mean, why didn't we just trade Duncan for him? Then we'd be done.
Ooh, yeah. Duncan's got to say, Duncan wants to go to Eurovision.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah.
I mean, it is basically in his backyard this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's still the reigning champ.
He is. He's had the title for longer than anybody, really.
That's right. Longest reigning champ.
Two consecutive years. Right. Can you believe it? We bring that Sunit news up last so that we can basically do one of our classic clunky segues into the review portion of this episode, because we are doing Sunit's song first from San Marino, featuring Flo Rida, of course.
Adrenalina.
Let's give it a listen.
Okay, so that was the maybe triumphant return of Sunit, representing San Marino, the most serene republic.
This is so... First off, I'm going to say I love it. I love it with every stupid part of my body. This song is so 2010, and I say that in a not entirely joking way. Like, the rap break and the, like, insufferably dancey beat is so 10 years ago, and I still love it. I still love it. This song is irresistibly catchy. It is very heavily produced. There are so many effects on this track. But what can I say? It's San Marino. It's Sunit. I love it. No one is going to love this song more than I am. So let's go in descending order. Who likes it second most?
fight. I like it a lot. I really do like it a lot. And last year I enjoyed Freaky with a sort of irony of, okay, this is silly, but it's fun. This doesn't need the qualification of, but it's fun. It's just fun. It's cotton candy. It's, you know, it's not substantive. You're not going in this for Citizen Kane here, but it's enjoyable. It's incredibly well produced. And it's interesting to see that this is the Sunit plus Lucas Tomasini goodness that we've seen from her over the past year, keeping our interest peaked with her Freaky trip to Rotterdam. And yet it's pulled back in such a way that it's not as over the top outlandish as a lot of the promotional stuff that we've seen from her over the past year. It's enjoyable and it's bright and it's colorful, but it's not, oh my God, turned up to 11. It's a lot more instant and accessible that I think may serve her very well in Rotterdam.
Yeah, I think this is going to do great. I also think it's outstanding. It's immensely fun. I think since nobody's touched on this specifically, I'll add that Flo Rida's presence, I think, actually really enhances the song. It doesn't feel like weirdly tacked on or anything like that. Like, as a bridge, as a guest verse, where it is in the song, I think it really works. I'm still baffled as to how this came together.
Yeah, how did this happen? Like, it but, really does sound like a pop song from 2010, back when the rap bridge was a huge thing. And, but still, how?
Yeah.
How?
Also, how great is it, by the way, that Flo Rida's vest, when he's in the video doing his verse, just says Europe?
He's got a whole line of vests like that.
Yeah, they asked him if he could locations. Wear something. Wear something that would fit in with a San Marino entry, and he's like, "Where? Europe? Fine."
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if he tried to put La Serenissima Repubblica di San Marino, it would just be too big of a garment. It would just it would be like a tunic, really, more than anything. So,
if the two of them don't show up wearing, you know, matching vests that just say Flo Rida and Senit, I'm going to be very disappointed.
I just can't wait to see how this turns out. Like, honestly, I'm not just saying this to hop on the bandwagon, but I really do think this could be San Marino's best result ever. Which, granted, isn't saying much.
Yeah,
but
the best result was 19th with Serhat.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So they definitely can do better than 19th.
I think this is a unquestionably going to qualify.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a second semi, too, so they're pretty safe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of bops in the semifinal, but I think, frankly, this is one of the better bops.
Yes. This one has all the hallmarks of the Fuego that we've been calling it. It has that kind of build and it has that structure, but it has that rap bridge and it has also it's significantly less silly than Freaky was, but it still has that more lighthearted and sexy feel that Senit has.
Yeah, it doesn't take itself too seriously.
I'm going to make a prediction here.
Mm-hmm.
I think top 10.
I think so too. I would say that too.
It might be close, but I think it absolutely is top 10 in terms of quality and in what I expect the presentation to be.
Yeah.
I don't know about presentation. I'm a little worried about that, to be honest.
It could be kitchen sinky.
She's all of her Freaky videos, even the video for this, I think is a little bit much at times.
There are many competing aesthetics.
Yeah, and I feel like if they overload it, it's just going to be kind of a visual nightmare. And it's going to really distract from the song itself. I think, you know, there's a way to kind of have a high energy, bright, flashy show and not just be over the top. And that's the thing I'm concerned about.
Hmm. I just can't wait to see it, though. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I have no concerns about their live performances. I think they're both seasoned professionals. Their show is going to be great. It's just what's going to be around them. I'm really curious about.
Flo Rida is going to be playing to the biggest crowds he's seen in 8 years.
Well, if they have a live audience.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
When was the last time he had a hit? I mean, the last time I remember hearing a Flo Rida song was when The Hangover 2 came out. Okay, it kind of disappeared after that.
The last one to chart in the U.S., and it reached number 95... was Green Light by Pitbull featuring Flo Rida. That was in 2016. So he has been a bit on the down low the last few years, more than I would have guessed, because it really does feel like he's kind of everywhere still, you know?
I do have to say, I was really, I remember hearing him on the radio in Baku in Azerbaijan, because he was a featured artist with Beto Cuevas.
Running Scared, the David Guetta remix.
Oh God, bite your tongue. No, he collaborated with Beto Cuevas, who's a Chilean singer who I've adored since I first lived in Chile, so since about 2001. So hearing Flo Rida and Beto Cuevas on the radio in Azerbaijan may have been one of the more strange musical moments of my life, but I associate him with Beto, so I'm like, okay, what's Senit now? Okay, my Eurovision Flo Rida journey is kind of coming full circle.
Well, shall we take a look at the next big bop? Certainly, it's a big bop. Oh, it's North Macedonia.
But it's with friend of the show. Yes.
Not a bop. This is our big emotional ballad. This is Here I Stand by Vossel from North Macedonia. They all try to break us, not knowing it's what makes us. This is how we fight.
And that was Here I Stand by Vossel from North Macedonia, the second song we are reviewing today. Really quick, let's address the elephant in the room a little bit with this song, which is that we had a bit of a controversy. The seriousness of the controversy, I guess, depends on who you ask.
Yeah, but whether or not you think it's actually valid. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is, nationalism is a hell of a drug, right? So it basically, Vossel has, is it dual citizenship?
I believe that's the case, yes.
Okay, with Bulgaria, and is of Bulgarian heritage to some extent. Again, he's representing North Macedonia, just like he did last year. But there, for some reason, was a bit more of a concern this time around, in part because there was a series of simple, like, colored painting, almost like a Mark Rothko thing or something like that, almost, just in the background of the music video that happened to look like the Bulgarian flag. And the feeling among people who were bothered by this was simply that this is not North Macedonian enough, that if he's repping Bulgaria in any sort of way, then he's not representing us. At least that's what I think is the feeling. I'm not endorsing that feeling or agreeing with it really in any way, but that was kind of the vibe, was that this isn't appropriate for North Macedonia, essentially. I agree. But thankfully, yeah, we found out this morning as of recording that, as they said, music wins. Music has prevailed. This is going to be the song to represent them as well it should be. Now, that being said, how do we feel about the song? Derek?
It's lovely. I'll say this. This is significantly better than You. I kind of hate to say it. I don't think You was going to go anywhere last year.
It wasn't, but I still love it.
Oh, it was great. But it was a great song. I didn't think it was terribly competitive.
No.
This one, I like it a lot. I think he's showcasing an extraordinarily high level of vocal talent, more so than I think anyone else, and just all this range and just kind of what he's doing is really, really remarkable. That said, I think the song itself is not as strong as it should be or could be. I'm going to quote Sam on her Insight podcast when she was breaking down Junior last year, when she said about Russia that didn't perform terribly well, it was a bit too conservative, and that's not really what people are looking for. And I'm worried that's kind of the case here, too. It feels kind of old-fashioned, kind of classic, but there's nothing... I'm worried it's missing something. It's missing something that's going to grab people's attention and really draw them in and get them to vote for it. I think, again, a lot of people are going to like it. A lot of people are going to be very impressed with it. Is that going to be enough to get them to vote for it?
I think it is. Now, here's one thing that I'll say is I think that this movie, I think that this song has a practically. It's
did
got
that last week
it's got,
too.
It's
didn't
got
you?
A plot, probably.
It's doing a movie through line.
I think this song has. This is so mean because he is a fantastic talent, and his performance in this song is unbelievable. I'm about to give him a huge compliment in a little bit, so hold with me. I think this song and its lyrics are a little cheesy. I'm going to go farther than conservative and say cheesy, which is a shame because the sentiment behind it is absolutely fantastic and powerful. However, what I will say, Derek, is I think that this might suffer from proud syndrome, which is that it might feel a touch on the bland side watching it in a video on the internet or hearing it on the radio. I think the live performance of this is going to elevate it to the level that it has to be. I'm also not a fan of the backing vocals. I think those should be clipped the F out, and Vossel's voice should just really be the only thing on this track.
Yeah, they kind of detract for me as well. Yeah.
I think it's adding to the cheese level for me. It really does sort of elevate it to an almost like Broadway level of musical theater performance and command and emotion. And Lord knows the man has that kind of training. But like I said, at a certain point, it veers into cheese.
Yeah, I'm kind of with both of you guys. There is absolutely no denying the fact that Vasil's voice is probably one of the strongest male voices in terms of sheer talent and ability and range that we've had at Eurovision for quite a long time.
Yeah, and I'd say of the men, he's the best this year.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt that. But there's, because the song is so theatrical and it's incredible at storytelling, but when people are hearing a song possibly just once and then maybe in a couple of snippets as reprises come through as you're voting, there's a call to action, but there's not necessarily a hook. You're betting that people are going to connect emotionally with the song, which if anybody's going to be able to portray that, it's going to be Vasil. But will people remember the song or will they remember him? And that's, I think, with the double-edged sword. I think this does him a heck of a lot more justice than his song last year. Granted, 99% of the people watching at home aren't going to necessarily remember what you was versus, you know, what we've got this year. It's going to be a crapshoot in terms of qualification, especially because he's in that first semifinal, which is rather stacked. But if we're going on sheer ability and talent, Vasil he's incredible. He's absolutely incredible. And also the fact, like, I respond very deeply to when a song feels organic and feels relevant to the singer. And this absolutely feels like he is putting his heart and his soul out in front of millions. This is pure Vasil. And I really, really, really respect the hell out of it.
Yeah, I worry a bit about not so much him, but about the song. Like if he's the artist and the song is like the vessel with which he is being delivered to the audience, this is a weird metaphor, but bear with me. I worry that it's just a bit of a weak vessel for him. Like imagine a movie star rolling up to a premiere in like a Prius as opposed to a limo or something like that. I just worry that he, because he is so incredibly talented, because he's such an unbelievable singer, that he is bigger than this song is going to come across, basically. That being said, I know he's going to sell the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a pro. He has done this basically his whole life. And the things he has struggled with, some of which you talked about in our live stream a couple weeks ago, by the way, if you haven't checked that out, check out the YouTube where we interviewed Vasil about his experiences and about this song. I'm very hopeful that some of that experience is going to come across in one way or another in terms of how he sings and how he delivers it. And because of that, I'm not super worried about how this is going to perform. I mean, he is in semi-1. It is going to be tough, but
yeah.
I mean, look at what Tamra did for North Macedonia a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I think this could definitely be there. I'm also going to disagree about the backing vocals and the choir. I quite like that. The part a couple minutes into the song where there's sort of a modulation and they sing, I think it's "This Is How We Found Our Way" or "How We Find Our Way." That is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. My favorite part of the song, for sure. And not my favorite type of music for Eurovision or otherwise, you know, the Disney ballad sort of a thing. And I don't mean that in a I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It is that sort of a song. I also want to note another description that is one of the top YouTube comments on this that I just had to share, which is, it would be fair to call this song Amen 3, The Final Conflict. Perfect. Well, we haven't covered either Amen yet.
But we will be talking about Amen, one of them, later on in this episode. So stay tuned, y'all.
I think just one thing that kind of scares me about this is I think about Kobe from 2019 from Israel, and he put his heart and soul into that song, and I think he sang the hell out of it. And that song went absolutely nowhere. And I'm just worried that we're going to see something similar happen again. Maybe. But then again, on the other hand, if he absolutely blows the hell out of it, which I know he can, that might be enough just to get him over the finish line.
That's a fair point. I mean, he was the singer from Israel. He was crying.
He was overwhelmed. Yeah.
Which I could see that level of overwhelmitude happening here as well, but we'll see.
He's crying in the video. Like he has this moment when the orchestra is going and he's just like feeling the emotion and the camera catches it. I'm like, that's a genuine moment right there. He probably wasn't even aware he's being filmed.
They can do anything in post, Derek.
Come on.
There is no fossil. It's a CGI creation.
All right. In conclusion, North Macedonia will win. Wait.
what? But we should move along.
Yes.
Much, much more to cover. For example, our next song, which is Amnesia from Romania's Roxen.
If you feel what I feel, see what I see, don't bring yourself down. You're not alone, not alone now. Oh, I lost myself trying to have it all. This world feels in a rush, and they say they know it all. Oh, I lost my...
Eric...
Eric, don't look at me like that.
Crack open this bottle. What are your thoughts?
Oh, it's outstanding. It's incredibly evocative with a really powerful message. If the music video is any indication of how this is going to be staged, it's going to be a tremendous performance. I love her voice. I love the sound of this. It to me, it blows Alcohol U out of the water, which I feel like a lot of people have said really the opposite. And I don't understand that at all. This is tremendous. It's subtle, you know, it doesn't have that big bombast that like the chorus of Toy or the chorus of Heroes or the last chorus of Arcade has. It does have a bit of a build, but it doesn't have that huge moment the way some of these big Eurovision songs do. And I worry about its performance, you know, its place in the final, assuming it makes it, it's going to make it, that it may not rise to the top because it doesn't quite have that little something. But if that performance is really cool and memorable, that may not matter. I think this is outstanding.
I'm with Eric on this one. I think it's one, like you're saying, it's light years ahead of Alcohol U last year, just by dropping all of the attempted wordplay and the attempted, you know, tries to be cutesy with your lyrics, the fake news and all that. It automatically raises it by about a dozen points in my personal standing. But it's interesting. It's intriguing. It's like you said, subtle. It's not as bombastic as a lot of other pop focused entries, but for people who are watching the show and listening to the show and in their non-Eurovision life are listening to other modern female pop artists that are coming out today, it's a very similar vibe. So I think it's contemporary, it's relatable. I like the fact that while she's not taking a lot of vocal risks, it's not like she's hitting massive high notes or doing any crazy vocal acrobatics, but there are a couple of moments in here that are musically risky. That time signature change in the bridge, I thought was a very interesting and intriguing touch. And I was really, really kind of captured by that. I find myself intrigued and drawn into this song in a way that I wasn't with Alcohol U. And in a way that I wasn't expecting myself to be. So for me, I'm on board with this.
I think Danny will go last, so I'll go.
Yeah, he's sitting on something.
He's sitting on something. He'll be the contrarian. Look at him just stewing there in the corner. I'll say I absolutely adore this song. There is a little bit of wordplay with the whole notion of self-love amnesia, but it doesn't distract from the message. The way Alcohol U did, I think it got caught up trying to be too clever. I think Alcohol U is a really, really good song. I just think it could have been a little bit more straightforward. This one I think absolutely works. I love the weird little modulation they do with her voice, which just kind of makes it seem almost ghostly in a weird way. I think the performance in the video, I hopefully they carry some of that over, because I think the dancing was really, really good. It fit the music so well. And the way they kind of were surrounding her and interacting with her while she was singing was really intriguing to me, which I think is exciting. I like this one a lot. I would definitely put this one higher up than I think it's going to end up. I don't know why it's not getting the same kind of traction it was last year, but I don't know. Maybe she might try and do some more vocal acrobatic stuff on stage. Not too much, I hope, but no, she might go for some bigger notes if she can to get some more attention.
I don't know that the song really needs that, but again, if I guess the thing is we need a moment for the recap or whatever, then maybe we throw something interesting in there in terms of a live vocal. Danny, I almost don't want to know, but go ahead.
I don't hate it.
Okay.
All right, next song.
Next song.
However,
worse
than hating it, I am bored by it.
I
really don't see it. Or like on an intellectual level, I can understand what's happening in this song. I, however, am so slipped through the net of this song. It does not catch me at all. I don't care about this song. I don't know why. It's hard to explain what makes something boring to a person, but this song, it does nothing for me.
Well, first of all, shut up. No. Danny, you said something similar about Victoria last week, that you just kind of found it boring.
Yeah.
Is it basically the same thing? The same feeling? Like, is there one that you prefer to the other, out of curiosity?
I think I like Victoria a touch more, but this is just a style of song that, you know, is not something that I would seek out right away. I am not particularly impressed with the lyrics or with her vocals. I'm not particularly impressed with the dancing in the video. There's nothing here that really is my alley. So it's not like it's annoying. It has. I would never come back to this song.
Out of curiosity, outside of Eurovision, what do you normally like to listen to? Like, what are some of a handful of your favorite acts of the moment?
I literally have to go on my Spotify. Most listened to artist at the moment is actually Royal Blood, which is wild. After that, it's like the usual suspects, Two Door Cinema Club, the 1975, of course, Gregory Alan Isakov. There's some like smattering of stuff here. There's like a Billie Eilish here. There's an MCR here, but
so, you know. So like you listen to Billie Eilish, but this doesn't work for you?
Yeah, it really doesn't.
That in particular is odd to me.
Also, The Usual Suspects. Is that a band or are we just saying?
No, just.
No, he's listening to Kaiser Sose, actually.
Okay, because I honestly don't recognize most of those people. No.
All right. Well, let's take a break from Danny being wrong and go on to Denmark.
Oh, just you wait.
All right. So we go over to Denmark with Fyr and Flamme with Øve os på hinanden, or Practice on Each Other.
All right, so that's Denmark. That's Fyr and Flamme, responsible for Øve os på hinanden. What is there to say, guys? I do have something to say.
Yes.
The last time Denmark sent a song in all Danish, or even majority Danish, was 1997. This song, which is also in all Danish, sounds like it's from 1998. There's no doubting that these guys love what they're playing. And there's an audience out there for this absolutely unabashed cheese. The piano glissandos. The hand claps, the dancing, the string orchestration, you know, the pop disco strings, the brass hits. There is no shame in this song. And for that reason, I feel like it has immense appeal with a certain demographic of people. I'm not in that demographic, fortunately. These guys are wild. Sam, do you have any more information on these guys?
They had a handful of hits on the Danish scene. So they are already known by...
They are known.
Yeah. They had... last year they had two top 20 hits, both in Danish. I don't have a ton of other information. It's a duo out of Jesper and Lauritz. They kind of went in there. People already knew who they were, so there's a sense of familiarity. It should also be noted that this is the first Danish Eurovision song to hit number one on the Danish charts since Only Teardrops in 2013. What? I don't think this is going to have the same fate as Only Teardrops in the end.
No.
But the thing is, people in Denmark are loving this. I'm not sure whether it's just the language or just the energy that they want something fun and uplifting during, frankly, a time that has been globally crappy for everybody. So why the heck not? It's fun, but
it sure is fun. But the weird thing is that it doesn't seem to be a joke, and it feels like it ought to be.
Yeah. It's I can't tell whether it's self-aware of its sort of oddly placed timing or not. Like, I can't tell if they're tongue-in-cheek or they're not, and maybe just that's because I don't speak Danish. This is the kind of song that you could have in a contest now where, you know, there's so many of these 80s influences kind of leeching back into today's music, or, as Danny said, 1998 or 1987, or it could have been a futuristic thing from 1967. I don't know. But I'm confused by this entry, and yet I can't look away.
Yes, it's hypnotically baffling.
Yeah. And maybe I'm just bitter by the fact that there's another song in this national final that I thought was far superior and it didn't even make it into the super final. But I'm just, like I said before, I'm very, very cross at Denmark. But there is a charm to this. And looking at the lyrics of the song, it's sweet and innocent and cheeky. I could see how Denmark fell in love with this. I don't think the rest of Europe will do the same.
I think it's bad.
Like, I mean, that was our opinion in so many words.
Yeah, I mean, okay, well then I'm just going to cut to the chase. It's bad. I don't think I'd listen to this really in full since the national final. And I am not saying this. I am also bitter about Stalier and about Ben and Tan, who somehow didn't even get a chance at beating this.
It's rigged.
But I could, maybe, but I could barely even get through it. I actively dislike this song. And again, it's not because I'm mad about how it was picked. I truly can't believe this won a national final.
Or
that it's a number one song somehow. None of that makes sense to me. But beyond that,
this song is unbelievable.
I mean, you guys mentioned 1998, 1987, whatever. I think it's more like 1972 or something. I don't know. It is like, an enigma for sure.
But it feels like Ding A Dong, but Ding A Dong is so much better than this.
Yeah. It is as if Denmark collectively forgot what year it is. Because, and I mean, in the performance, the cuts to the musical accompanists and the singers, it felt like watching an old Eurovision
where
they cut to the orchestra. Like, this is so weird in that way that this is a song from 2021. But above all else, it's bad. It's just bad. I don't like this song at all. Bad.
You're not a fan of mesh tank tops underneath suede purple sports coats?
That are like two sizes too small, so his arms are kind of not quite moving in the way that they should be. It feels like he accidentally like forgot his costume at home.
You know what it feels like? Yeah, exactly. It feels like he showed up at a fancy restaurant in a white mesh tank top, and they go, sir, you have to wear something in the dining room. And they gave him that.
It was in the Lost and Found box.
I've said my piece.
Derek.
What am I going to say to that? Honestly, it feels like a joke entry. It just, the whole thing. I get that the lyrics are really sweet and all that, and it's trying to be retro. It just feels everything about it, it just kind of feels like a joke. Like, I can't even take it seriously. And maybe they're being serious, but it just reminds me so much of, was it Tusim, Lithuanian basketball player?
Oh, yeah.
It reminds me so much of that. Like, it just kind of feels like this grab-ass, goofy entry that wasn't supposed to go as far as it did, and for some reason everyone liked it. Like, I honestly was flabbergasted when that was announced. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
If only Tusim had had the trajectory that this seems to have for some reason. Because Tusim was great.
Tusim is fun.
Tusim is awesome.
And at least you knew it was a joke. Part of this is that embarrassment that we feel that's like, these guys are really doing this, and they don't know that it's like, well, this, well, now I sound like a bully, because now I'm like, they don't know this isn't cool.
But
I mean, I said it was bad, you're fine.
I mean, there's a place for retro, there's a place for camp.
Yeah, there's retro, though, and then there's just outdated.
The thing is, this doesn't even feel camp, because it's like, there's no joke here.
Yeah, they're not winking to the camera, you know? They seem so earnest about it.
Yeah.
Again, going to be mean. It's almost like a joke, except that the singers don't know that it's a joke. They're not in on the joke.
Yeah, that's kind of how it
feels. And I feel kind of bad saying that, but whatever.
Again, the Danes voted for it.
Eric, you've loved enough Danish songs in the past. You can torpedo this one down.
Oh, I know, and I tend to love anything with the retro vibe. One of my top two or three songs of the year this year is extremely retro inspired. We'll get to that. This just doesn't work. Like there's vintage, and then there's old. This is old.
Yeah. All right. All right, well, let's stop whipping this dead horse. Who do we have? We have something very, very different coming up next. It is the Eurovision approved recut of Ukraine's entry.
Shum.
It is Shum. Here we go. Okay, that's the revamp. That's Goa with Shum. It is a testament to Eurovision that we can follow Denmark's entry with this.
Ah, Mad Max Chernobyl Road. I love it.
Okay, so I was correct in assuming that in the background of the music video, that is the Chernobyl sarcophagus,
that
right?
That absolutely was. Derek and I saw that up close. That is,
scary.
It's incredible. But talk about... You know, last song we were talking about how Denmark found itself at a weird time warp that we couldn't quite tell what decade this was from. Shum is from all of the decades at the same time, and yet somehow it works. It's so old school and folk inspired, and yet so modern at the same time. When we knew that they had to revamp the original version of the song just because it was too close to a traditional song, I was worried it wasn't going to coalesce. This works. And if anything... The change in tempo, that sort of ramping up into, by the end of it, you've realized that you've found yourself in a Ukrainian folk rave.
Yeah.
I get so swept up by this, and I am enthralled by it. I'm excited. Like, I feel myself getting swept up, and I'm so, so, so on board for this. And also, can I just say, is this possibly the first Eurovision song ever to reference hemp? And I believe they're referring it just as a
clothing material.
As a clothing material, yes. But
I feel like normally we'd be asking you this.
fair no, enough.
I don't know, Sam.
I know that it's not like a nefarious drug reference or anything like that, but it's. It's an interesting. An interesting lyric that is so traditional, and yet people can have fun with that. All right, I'm on board.
Yeah, let's talk about the mood of this song. This is so intense, in a way that isn't necessarily emotionally intense. It is just musically intense in the way that techno music really can be. But it's bolstered by that ethnic edge, by the folk flute, and the knowledge that this is. built around sort of it's a Ukrainian, not like a folk song, but like a, almost like a nursery rhyme, right?
Yeah, it's sort of based on a folk performance, folk dance to sort of bring along spring, which is really the whole theme of the song. It's waking up the world from winter, which really is a pretty solid metaphor for the dormancy that we've been under for the past year.
I liked the other music videos aesthetic that they were all wearing, you know, PPE suits and face guards. It was absolutely wild. And I do have to say, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword for them to have given us the 4-minute and 20-second version, which I think is, just for me, for my tastes, unimpeachable. That is as great a techno song that we could have had offered to Eurovision as possible. Of course, it being 4 minutes and 20 seconds, we had to cut it down. This version is about 2 minutes and 50 seconds. So they are just a healthy amount underneath that 3-minute mark. I say a double-edged sword just because I prefer that other version so much. If this were the only version I had ever heard, I would probably be still as in love with it. This is nuts. I love this in the same way that I loved Iceland 2 years ago.
Mm.
In that I am so glad to see this at Eurovision. I'm so glad for this flavor and this mood to be at Eurovision. It will stand out juxtaposed next to literally any other entry. And I just think, who on the floor would not be absolutely hypnotically rave dancing as this reaches its climax? Anyway, this is exactly what I'd expect from the folks who gave us Solovey last year.
I prefer this.
Yeah.
And I love Solovey, but I this is just turned up to 11.
Same. Bring them back next year. I don't care if they win. I don't care if they crash and burn. Bring them back next year. I'll take them every time.
Like, I keep joking that Ukraine should send Onuka. Like, I am totally fine with Onuka not being there if Goa are.
Yeah. Derek, what do you think? Oh, I'm fine.
Oh, no.
Let me preface this by saying I absolutely love these guys. I love what they do. I think it's really, really cool. I loved Solovey last year. I thought it was great. I liked the original iteration of Shum. For whatever reason, when they came out with this version, it just didn't work for me. And maybe because I listened to the original song so much that I just got used to that. And this one just, it just doesn't, like, my, I just kind of reject it. Like, mentally, it just, I'm like, no, this isn't the right song.
Because both the melody really has changed. It is very different. And that long buildup that's basically, what is it, 16 bars or 32 bars in this one, it's less than half of what it was in the original.
Yeah. That said, I think it's really, really cool. I think if I hadn't heard anything else of theirs, and this came up during the semifinal, and I'd never heard anything before, I would have liked it a lot more. So I recognize that I've been kind of poisoned on previous experience, but just kind of like knowing what I know and listening to this, I'm like, I kind of like the other version better.
But we can never have that. We can never have that, Derek.
No, we can't. Yeah, I know. But it's like, I can't forget everything I know just to enjoy a song.
I bet the same thing might have happened. I know you were not big at all on Fairumore, but imagine having, you know, being given that beautiful four and a half minute song last year for Italy, and then having to witness it be truncated down to 3 minutes. It just wouldn't have worked.
Well, just ask Francesco Gabbani. Yeah, sometimes it really doesn't.
Yeah. I couldn't tell if Karma wasn't terribly butchered.
Yeah, it could have been.
Mostly
it pretty badly butchered.
It was, yeah. I think, and this is going to come up a lot, I feel like, in these reviews and a lot of conversations around a lot of the songs this year is, well, how does it compare to last year? Especially when we have 20 returning artists in some form or another.
Yeah.
And they have varying degrees of similarity to their previous songs. You know, I think, for me personally, I listened to those songs over and over and over again last year. And I just got so used to it. And now listening to the songs this year, it's so hard to just to say, okay, I'm putting all that aside and just listening to this as a standalone song for the same Eurovision contest purposes. And I kind of got used to listening to Shum. It was just sort of in rotation in my Spotify account. I got to really like it. And then they're like, we're completely changing it.
Yeah.
And it's too similar. It's like in that uncanny valley space for me. And again, wholly acknowledge that it's a great song and that I think it should do fairly well, People seem to like it, but I just can't get into it.
Sam, what semifinal is this one in?
Oh, goodness. I believe this
This is in the first.
This is in the first semifinal. It's in the second half of the first semifinal.
Stacks on stacks, guys. Yeah. First semifinal is going to be, it's going to be a carnage.
This one's also a weird song, too, and I'm wondering if it might just miss out. Ukraine is never not qualified.
Right.
So, but I don't know, just based on, just looking at the first semifinal, like, I can't pick just 10 songs to qualify. And I'm worried that this might be the first year for them. Who knows?
There are a number of songs that I think are both a bit better, or that I even just frankly like more. But for some reason, this is the song that I want most to make it to the final.
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I want more weird experimental stuff.
Yeah.
At Eurovision.
Whatever happens, I am so, so happy this is in the lineup. And Danny, you kind of said it best for me, that it scratches a very similar itch that Hatari did.
Yeah.
It's just, it's different, it's weird, it pushes the envelope, it keeps listeners and viewers on their toes, and I love it for that. Eric, you've been suspiciously quiet.
I just wanted to say, it's bad.
No, I was not. Oh, can you imagine though? No, I'm kind of in the same boat as Derek, honestly. The original was so great, and really did kind of become ingrained in my music listening subconscious, whatever. And this one, because the melody is really different and weird. And I mean, it's white singing. It was always going to be weird to some extent, right? But like, I don't like this melody as much. I just don't.
How do you think viewers are going to be reacting? Because there is that very, very healthy demographic of people who maybe only listen to the songs once and don't follow it nearly as closely as
And I mean,
those folks who are going to be watching the semifinal, I think they're at an immense advantage coming to this song first.
Oh yeah, yeah. And like, I try to put myself in their shoes when I listen to this, because like you said, most people aren't going to have this comparison that I and Derek, I guess, are just like stuck with. But I still enjoy it musically a great deal. I think they kept the musical elements that were really important. It does have that build. It doesn't have as much of it just because there isn't enough time. But it has that sort of chaos at the end. It has that high note at the end still, which I think is a great, great part of it. I'm very glad that that's still there.
The vocals just isolated. Wonderful.
Yeah, I think after a few listens, after I get used to this version, it's just going to climb my list, and I will enjoy it probably every bit as I enjoyed Shum Classic, as it were.
This is new Shum.
Yeah.
Crystal Shum.
Okay. Don't know how many more variations on a theme we can go on this one. So let's head on to another one. Still in Eastern-ish Europe. The next one on our list is Slovenia. This is Amen 1, or at least the first Amen we will encounter on a Soklitch.
Greater future with Amen.
That's Slovenia's entry, Amen, which we will call Amen 1. Eric?
Oh, how did I like it?
Yeah.
Eh.
So, I'm kind of there, too.
Yeah, so it's a song that I can't bring myself to actively dislike Denmark, but I feel like I have a bunch of weird reactions to this song. One is that I can't believe this whole thing is sung by the same person.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's part of why I can't like full on be like, I don't like it, because the vocal is just unreal. It's unbelievable, you know? And it's a powerful vocal at times. I think it's just a bit plodding. I think by the last chorus, it really comes together. And I like the way it ends, but that's 1 minute of a 3 minute song, you know? So yeah, it takes what feels like forever to get there. And kind of like Denmark, Slovenia is a country I feel like I really love, and yet they keep disappointing me over the last couple of years. I don't know. Anna is very talented. It is very, very adequately performed, and it's a bombastic song. It's clearly written to show off what she can do, and I can appreciate that. But it just doesn't do enough. It doesn't really work for me.
Yeah, same. It's you can't fault Anna. Her vocals are great. Like I mentioned before, I like seeing another alto there, because I mean, sopranos always get the attention, but you know, nice to see a range with such a strong lower register in a female voice. I love seeing that. But there's just something that kind of leaves me hollow with this. It feels like it's trying to be inspirational for the sake of me being inspirational, but it doesn't actually get me there. And it's nothing that Anna is doing wrong, I don't think so, because this is a song that she helped co-write. So it's not like, okay, here, Anna, here's your song, go sing it. You know, there does seem to be some measure of conviction behind it, but it just leaves me cold. It's a shame, because I feel like she could do something incredible with a different song, but I don't have much to say about it, which I think is probably its biggest sin.
I'll say, as somebody who went to Catholic school and heard a few Christian-y songs over the years, I'm kind of surprised at how uninspiring this feels. I mean, it just, to me, feels like, oh, somebody who never really went to church or kind of did any of that stuff and says, oh, this is what those people like, right? We'll do a song like that.
Those people.
You know what I mean? But like, they're outside of that group. They're outside of that religious experience. And they're trying to write something that they think would sound like that. It has a lot of the words, but it doesn't have kind of the power behind it, if that makes any sense.
Hmm.
I do agree with Eric that the last minute, it really seems to come together. But man, listening to it again now, I'm like, is this song only 3 minutes? Because it feels longer. And I mean, I love her voice. I think she's a really talented singer. I think the last two songs we've seen from her are just not doing it for her, though.
Yep.
So, as someone who sort of not really championed, but was not willing to completely overlook Voda, her song from last year, this song is Poopy Stinky Diapers.
You're always so eloquent, Danny, and that's why we love you.
Song, poetry, my God, she has talent. My God, she has the range. But also, my God, this sounds like one of those tracks from those Songs for Life Christian rock compilations that would play on late night TV in like the early 2000s.
I know exactly which commercial you mean.
Yeah, this is it does not sit well, isn't it? Because I'm not offended by this song. I'm not turned away by this song. This song is just, you know, kind of a snooze fest. I agree that I do have to agree with you guys that the last minute, something really works there. I shouldn't have to slog through the other two to get there. Nah.
Yeah. Do we have anything else to add to this? Or are we ready to...
Nope.
I just think this is one of those situations we have to champion her. She's fantastic. I'm sure she's going to belt the hell out of this, but she's got to belt the hell out of this.
Right.
Well said. Unfortunately, well said, I guess. We have one more. We have one more, guys. And it's a fun one. An actual fun one.
Ooh, I like fun.
Yeah. Listen to Dadi Frere and his marvelous mystery gang with 10 years from Iceland.
If I could do it all again, I'd probably do it all the same as before. I don't want to know what would have happened if I never had had your love.
All right, last song of the show, Daði and Gagnamagnið, 10 years for Iceland. A lot of people thought that he was going to win the whole thing last year before, you know, we got the rug pulled out from under us. Do you think he's captured lightning in a bottle again?
No.
Ooh.
Not quite.
Do you think it matters?
I'm not sure of. it might not.
Not to him, I don't think.
No, and definitely not to him. This is so genuine and sincere, the same way that Think About Things was. And I think maybe this is another case of I am not helped by having this prior thing to compare it to. To me, it doesn't quite have that same unique feel and energy that Think About Things had, because we had Think About Things.
You thought about things.
Does that make sense, though? Like I feel like...
No. I'm with you. I think I'm the exact same page as you. Now there's no novelty. There's just the fact that this is just a style that I really like. Personally, that's where I am. Uh-huh. I really do like Dottie's music, mm-hmm. and I love this style of song. It so toes the line between silliness and heartfeltness, and it's mm-hmm. it has just this flawless pop, funky instrumentation. But now the novelty that was Think About Things is no longer there. Now it's just Dottie. Let's see if he's good.
But again, that's not necessarily going to be the case for a lot of viewers. Now, yeah. I think more people will have seen the video for Think About Things or heard the song compared to the previous songs from a lot of the other returning artists.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But still, Danny, novelty is the word that I was kind of struggling to think of earlier, I think, is that the novelty, this is going to sound so mean and it's not meant to be, has worn off a little bit. That being said, it's still musically very fun. The performance is still very fun. He's still delightful. The group is still a total delight. You know, the I like part is just so clever. Musically, there are a few things that I don't quite get with it. I think the structure is a little bit weird. There is about 25 seconds of instrumental intro before he comes in. So like you take that out, this song is essentially 2.5 minutes.
Eat your heart out, the Ramones.
So there's that. And there's also just that there are like two separate choruses, sort of. There's the part, and then the how does it keep getting better part. Both kind of feel like choruses to me, but they're both there. I don't know. This might be just me and my sentiments.
Nope, I know what you mean. I just don't care because I like it.
I'm probably being harsher on it than I need to be because I do really like it. But as one of those people who definitely thought this would have won if we'd had a contest last year, this isn't quite at that level.
For me, like we keep saying, it's a bit different with this song because, like we said, this has had such commercial success across Europe, unlike the vast majority of songs last year. This made, I think, top 10 in the British charts. I want to say it peaked at number 2 or 3 in the Irish charts.
This song or Think About Things?
Think About Things. I'm sorry. This act, I should say. And so it will be familiar and there will be some measure of comparison. But I think for a lot of people, they're not necessarily going to say, all right, let's compare apples and oranges and split hairs. It's, oh, it's that guy. I really like the song that he did last year. I think I saw that on Strictly Come Dancing or whatever it was. This feels good. And then I don't think it's going to be as much of a detractor as a lot of people may expect.
You think a lot of people would vote for it because of Think About Things, even though that's not the song in the running?
Possibly. I mean, honestly, it's similar enough in style that you still kind of capture that same vibe, that same feeling, that same positivity, but it's not a carbon copy. It's not like other songs that we're going to be talking about. It's not like Cleopatra to Mata Hari here. We'll talk about that later on, where carbon, copy-paste, away you go. This feels like an evolution, at the very least, or at least it's different enough. And for me personally, having heard Dottie's first song at the national final, which would have been 2017, where it's a continuation of the story, where the first song at his national final, which is second place, is called Is This Love, was all about him meeting his wife. And then we had Think About Things, which is the birth of their daughter. And now he's looking back on his relationship. This feels like the culmination of a trilogy of his own life story. And it feels very organic and real. And I keep coming back to this. It's personal authenticity that I respond to. Simply put, I get the warm fuzzies, and it's hard to capture that.
4 years ago, he had a song about meeting his wife. And now he has a song about being with her for 10 years.
Well, they didn't meet.
I'm just kidding.
They met on the day of their wedding.
Your story is full of holes, Dottie.
I have a strange opinion about this one, I'll just say. I actually like this slightly better than Think About Things. Which
I knew you were down on Think About Things.
I wasn't really on Think About Things, but I will wholly acknowledge it was quirky in a way that I don't like. But looking at it at the time, and even in retrospect, I think it had a real shot at winning. I can't say for sure, because who knows? We didn't get to see any of the staging or anything.
Yeah.
Or the running order, any of that. And there's always a lot of speculation going into the contest. Oh, this one's definitely going to win. I think it had a definite shot at winning. I'm not going to say whether or not it would have, just because. I think the song is a bit more grounded. It feels more mature. I like some of the stylistic things he does. The string quartet at the beginning, the kind of the choir at the end, I thought were really, really cool touches. But like Eric said, I don't think it has that same magic that Think About Things did. I don't know what it is that's missing, but that one felt a little bit more cohesive, and this one feels a little bit scattered.
You could tell that there was a lot of pressure on him to come up with something.
Yeah.
And I think he's done a pretty solid job of knowing that, all right, I have to be in the driver's seat. I have to come up with something good. People may pick and choose and split hairs, but I think this is within the same universe. And it's what am I trying to say here?
Oh, the DCU.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that if you put this and Think About Things next to each other, you're going to have people say, one is not a massive, massive upgrade or downgrade from the other, that they exist cohesively together. You may like one more than the other. You may respond more immediately to one than the other, but it's not like you have a stellar song followed by crap. I think that he's done the best job that he can, considering, okay, you've got a year to write a song that has as much hype as your song from last year. And that is such a massive challenge to put on an artist.
I think that's my big thing with this one, is that the thing that we have with Shum is that we had a previous version of it, much in the same way that this is so Dottie, and he himself is such a unique sound coming to Eurovision, that it feels like we've kind of already experienced an entry of his before. It's kind of been spoiled. I like this song. I would put this in maybe my top 10 of this year. But I've also been following the songs that he's been releasing since Think About Things, and they all have that same quirkiness. It feels like he could have ripped any song straight off an album that he made and sent it to Eurovision, if only that was in the rules. but this is, I really like this. I agree that there is something missing, and I think that the only thing that's missing is novelty, is newness. I think that intellectually this is as good, if not better, of a song, just purely musically, than what he sent last year. And yet, I'm just not as big on it.
Yeah.
It's just very curious.
It's an enigma, and not in the way Denmark is an enigma. It's like a good enigma.
Denmark is like the Hellraiser puzzle box of an enigma. Once it's open... I'm dragged to hell for a very unique type of torture.
Ooh, all right. Well, speaking of unique types of torture, let's go over our least favorite and favorites. You have to choose. Again, we've gone San Marino, North Macedonia, Romania, Denmark, Ukraine, Slovenia, Iceland. Danny, least favorite of the bunch this week?
Denmark, without question. Even in an ironic way that it is eminently listenable as far as a train wreck, it's still Denmark.
I got to agree. I mean, in a move that will surprise no one, I don't like Denmark.
I'm going to say Slovenia.
Okay.
Yeah, because at least Denmark, I'm engrossed in it. I'm entertained by it, even if it's sort of the same sort of satisfaction as eating way too many cheese puffs. It's not healthy, and I'm going to regret it, and I'm probably going to have cheese residue on my hands for the rest of the day, but at least I'm engrossed. Slovenia leaves me cold, and I don't like that in my music.
I was torn between Denmark and Slovenia, but I feel like Slovenia she's just a better singer, and at the very least, I can appreciate that. Denmark is just
bad
on every level. There's nothing. There's really nothing succeeding here.
All right, back over to Danny for best song of the week. I think I know what he's going to pick, but let's see what he says.
It's honestly between three. There are three songs that we've gone over this week that are solidly in my top 10. I adore so many of the songs from this year. They're going to be big favorites. San Marino comes close. But for me, it's Ukraine. Shum, shum, shum.
I thought you were going to say San Marino.
It's quite close. Cool. It's quite close. Yeah.
Danny continues to surprise us. He contains multitudes. I got to give mine to Romania. I think Romania is a potential top five finisher. And shut up, Danny. And it's exactly the sort of thing I like, I guess, is maybe what it comes down to. But I love it. It's one of my favorites this year for sure.
Derek?
Oh, Romania as well. It's one of my favorites this year. I think it's amazing. I really hope it does well.
Let's see. There are four here that I really like. Two of those I think I can upgrade to really love. And in the end, I'm going to have to give it to Ukraine.
Yeah.
Like listening back on it, I'm like, I just get swept up in it. Like I'm dancing in my chair and acting a fool, and I don't give a crap.
Was it between that and Romania for you?
That or Iceland, actually. Romania was like a half quarter step behind that. It just, and San Marino also in that sort of top four. But Iceland feels good, but Ukraine just pips it.
I'm so excited to see what San Marino does.
Oh my God.
That's the one I'm anticipating the most.
It's going to be
wild.
I mean, yeah, it seems like the question isn't, is it going to be a hot mess? Because it probably is. The question is going to be, what kind of hot mess is it? Is it going to be a great hot mess? Like,
I think it's going to be a great hot mess. Yeah. Like an Eggs Benedict.
Sure. And not like a bad hot mess, like the time Italy hosted. 91. Yeah. That was a bad hot mess.
Allora.
Yeah. Oh, we made it.
We did.
We only have
We have four more of these review episodes to go. That's it. All right. Let's wrap this bad boy up.
All right, everybody. You folks listening at home, let us know what your favorites out of this grouping were. How wrong are our opinions? Especially Danny's.
How wrong is my opinion? Yes,
that's what we want.
Again, hit us up, 12 Points USA on Facebook and Twitter, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. It's been fun, guys. It's been real. I don't know about you. I need sleep.
Yeah, as always.
Same time next week?
Mm-hmm. I'll be here.
All right. Well, until then, y'all, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now. You work 10 years in Iceland, and what do you get?
What do you get, Danny?
Whatever it is, I like. That's pop music, baby.